So this message, I started thinking about this message about a year ago. I think it was last July or August. It just popped in my head. And I thought of the topic really before any other pieces. And the topic in my head was being mindful of God in all that we do. But specifically in what we ask of him, what we include him in on, and what we think we need from him. Being mindful. I thought to myself, oh, what a great message this would be. When I say being mindful, I don't mean putting him first or always thinking of him and his wisdom or even meditating on his ways, like all that obvious traditional stuff that are very important. I'm talking about a different being mindful. What I was thinking about when I came up with this idea for a message of being mindful is, again, specifically what we ask of him and what we are asking in his name. And as I developed the understanding of what I was thinking, all these ideas started coming out of my head, like, let's say you're having some health issues right now, like blood pressure. Let's say your blood pressure is really high right now and you're having to take medication to bring it down, but it's still not working. It's killing your energy and your motivation throughout the day. And you know it's still a problem, but you bring it to God to help you with your high blood pressure, and you're looking for his intervention, but you haven't really changed anything about your lifestyle choices to help you with your high blood pressure. That's what I mean by being mindful of what we ask of him. So your blood pressure is high, you're stressed at work, things are going bad, you're taking medication you got from the doctor, and you're praying to God to help him with all that as you're stuffing your face with Saturday night's pizza from Domino's. Probably not going to help you with your blood pressure. That's what I was thinking a year ago when I was like, oh, being mindful of what we ask of God. I was like, ooh, this is going to be a good message. Because I know that's exactly what I do, or maybe we do as people when we have a problem. We pray to God to fix it, but we don't really change anything about ourselves. Or how about if we pray for God's blessing? I'm sure a lot of us pray for his blessing on the day ahead of us. You know, in the morning you might come together with, you know, your spouse or something. You pray for a good day, you know, for God to guide your day, have a good day at work, family, friends, whatever, and please help me return home safely and soundly. And what happens? You get in the car to drive, and you get stuck behind ridiculous traffic that's now going to make you late to work. Not only that, but in traffic, someone cuts you off. Someone gives you the finger, someone honks the horn at you, someone's going 30 and a 60, and it starts to build and build, and finally you explode, name-calling all these ignorant drivers, saying, go back to New York, go back to California, you're making me late, out of my way, I'm a Christian. Anybody do that today on the way here? Get out of my way, I'm late for church. That's what I was thinking about when I said being mindful of what we ask of God. Then I realized, why do a lot of the topics that I tend to find, or we find, have to do about problems and trials and stresses? Why do they always have to be like that? Or is it popular to come up with that? Why is God becoming my strength or my faith only when something is wrong? So I don't want to do a message about things that are going, they're happening, things that are wrong. I don't want to do a message about that. I don't want to do a message that is their typical three-point sermon out in the world. Do you know what a three-point sermon is? You're bad, do better, God is great. That's a typical three-point sermon. I want this message to be more about strong, uplifting tools that we can use to make our lives better with God, not because something is wrong. Because we can make things so much better in our lives. Even when things are great, we can still make things so much better. So to just slightly touch on the subject of when we're having trouble with things, just for a second, what do we usually do when things are going wrong, we're having a problem? What do? We turn to God, correct? He even tells us to do that. So let's turn to Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. I'll read verse 6 through 7. Verse 6 here. Be anxious for nothing. Let me stop it right there. First of all, did an actual human being write this? Be anxious for nothing? I mean, was Paul buzzed or tipsy when he was writing this? Be anxious for nothing? He must have been on some CBD or medical marijuana when he was writing this. Be anxious for nothing? I'm actually kind of offended. I'm actually getting anxious thinking about not being anxious about anything. He's probably listening to Bob Marley while he was writing this. Don't be anxious about everything. Everything's going to be all right. Don't worry. But in everything through prayer and supplication. Moving all that aside, I think we do a pretty good job with that. Especially when we're going through things, when we know we're not getting to God if we don't humble ourselves. We know we're not going to get to Him if we don't humble ourselves. So I think we do a pretty good job of everything in prayer and supplication. But I don't want to focus on that. The other part here says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I know for me, this is something that I know I need to work on, and I've been trying to work on for a while now, is oftentimes this part of the scripture right here is interpreted as if we thank God for our blessings and count our blessings before we come to Him, and that's absolutely true, especially when we're going through things in our lives. But for me, I've been interpreting this in a way of looking at the balance of my asking God for help and thanking Him for the help, be it previous help, go 10 weeks ago, 10 months ago, 10 years ago, and help that's coming ahead. I've been trying to balance that out. What I mean is, I know when I have an issue, I am desperately praying to God for His help, and I will diligently seek Him in prayer in my own ways, not to put that on anyone else, but I know for sure I don't desperately thank God for His help as much as I went to Him for the help. That's the difference that I'm learning. Not that God needs our thank yous, because the thank yous are not for Him, really. The thank yous are about us. As we're about to read here in the rest of, actually starting in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. Which leads to my first point I want to turn to in this message, or I want to turn this message towards, and aiming away from a problem-based, depressing, and turn it towards an encouraging, uplifting message here. There are three principal disciplines that I find very powerful in the Bible. And they're so real, or they're real because in order for them to work, we have to use them. We have to do them. We are what makes them real. The first principle or discipline is we can find in the book of Proverbs. We'll turn there real quick. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, I'm going to read verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Sounds pretty verbish and straightforward to me, right? See, what this showed me was, am I being diligent or am I diligent? The reason I word it that way is because I can be diligent in my prayers to God when I want something, when I need something. I can be very diligent about that. But am I diligent in thanking Him, thanking God, or being thankful to God? Am I diligent? Because coming to God for something isn't the same thing as coming to God. Keeping to your heart doesn't mean to use diligence. It means to be diligent. Because throughout the whole Bible, when God refers to our heart, He's talking about what's truly inside of us. As we heard in the first message, He really looks into our heart. He examines our heart. Not what we're wearing on the outside. So you don't wear diligence, you are diligent. And that brings me back to Philippians 4 and 6 again. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. It's funny how Paul closes with the key to the whole passage there. The way to God's understanding of peace is through Jesus Christ. And if we look at Christ's level of diligence, we see that it wasn't just diligent in seeking God's help when he needed it and advice when he needed it. He was very diligent in thanking God for what he provides. He was diligent, not just using diligence to get something. Take a look at the Last Supper for an example. You think about the Last Supper for a minute. Jesus, knowing that this was his Last Supper, and knowing that the bread represented his broken body, and the wine represented his innocent blood, he still thanks God for the bread and wine that he was about to partake in. I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at thanking God for the troubles that are about to happen. Even though he knew the trials he was about to endure, he still thanked God for what he provided. Spiritual diligence is a part of what makes our faith so strong. He was committed to the truth, to that process. Or another example from Christ. How about when Christ was about to raise Lazarus from the grave? The first thing he did is he thanked God right before he did a task that he knew he could achieve because he was one with God. We can look at it real quick. We'll go to John 11 for that. Book of John, chapter 11, verse 41 and 2. Just real quick. Book of John, chapter 11, we'll start in verse 41. I'm going to skip down to where Jesus says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. Then he proceeded to raise Lazarus from the grave. There's a powerful example of Christ's reverent fear that he had for his Father. Not a fear as in he was scared, you know, not to do something, but a respect and a righteous awareness of his Father and where it comes from. I want to have that same confidence when I come before God. Not only to ask him of something, of course, like he tells us to, but to tell him, I know you always hear me. That confidence comes from true diligence. The diligence to make sure that we are thanking God, coming to God just to be with God, just as much we are asking God of something. If we come to God without the confidence that he always hears us, then we're already shutting him out of our lives from the beginning. But that diligence and confidence also reveals another principle, discipline that Christ is displaying here, which is the second principle in discipline here. He's displaying his spiritual perseverance. See, the type of perseverance that Christ is displaying here is an absolute endurance of certainty that what he's about to do and what he is asking of God is going to happen. That's the type of spiritual perseverance that Christ is showing here. His perseverance works because he knows who he is and he knows why he's there. Diligence is staying committed, but perseverance, spiritual perseverance, is knowing why you are committed. And right here, he knows that the power to raise Lazarus from the dead is for God's glory and not his. That's probably why he says, "Thank you for hearing me, and I know you always hear me." He says thank you before he even does anything. Why is that? Well, at the bottom of the scripture, it says that they may believe that you sent me. Spiritual perseverance isn't just about hanging in there by a thread and being so tough that nothing can stop you, which could be more of a way of exposing a fear of letting go or failing. Spiritual perseverance is saying, I know this is absolutely going to happen. It's about having concrete belief that what you believe in is going to come true. Which is different than just working hard at something. When we refer in outside in the world to perseverance a lot, it's a little different than just working hard at something. God gave us perseverance not as a weapon to defeat things, but a tool to build things. He didn't just give us perseverance to overcome our challenges. He gave us perseverance to build a better relationship with him. It's a relationship builder with him because even when we're succeeding in life and everything is exciting and everything is going great, do we still thank him before all those exciting things, before all those achievements? As Christ said there, thank you for hearing me. And then he asked, and then he did. It wasn't the other way around. Christ didn't try to raise Lazarus all by himself to see if it would work. And then if it did, thank God for helping him, and then the message turns into, see, ask and you'll receive. He persevered in a true faith that he knew it was going to happen, and thanking God that he already had the power. So let's recap just a little here. First, we have diligence, but not just diligence of achieving something with God. The diligence to seek him both in need with troubles, of course, as he asked us to, but seeking him with thanksgiving for what he has already done and what he's about to do and his purpose he has for you. Then we have perseverance, but not just hardworking, trial, enduring perseverance, but having the perseverance that what you are doing and what you believe in will absolutely happen because you know who you are and you know what God has planned for you. That level of perseverance that Christ was showing. And also that you point it all to God because you believe that he is. Now you can easily say, well, I don't know what God has planned for me. Totally understandable. If I could just Google the answer to that to God, then I would have already done it. But it's not that easy of an answer to come up with what God has planned for you. For you, yourself, and what you have in your mind right now. But God does tell us exactly how to find that answer, doesn't he? Let's turn to the book of Hebrews 11, where he says, he rewards those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11. And verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. There again, the faith. What is that referring to in this message here with the diligence and with the perseverance? Faith is faith without works. So it's not just a faith as in I believe. It's faith because I'm doing something. I'm going somewhere. Without faith is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So with that, we finally come to the third and final principal discipline. In order to diligently seek God in our lives and to have the spiritual perseverance that what we are doing is God's plans for us, we first need to be able to make decisions. Not just any decision, because that can be dangerous. We need to make decisions that are forged in the wisdom of discernment. Discernment has been braided in the blueprint of God's creation. Let me give you some examples of that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, nothing in between. Discernment. In the beginning, he separated the darkness from the light. Discernment. In the beginning, he separated the waters from the land and called the land earth and the water sea. Discernment. In the beginning, he created male and female, nothing in between. Discernment. And one of the most obvious examples of God's wise discernment that we can all turn to is his creation of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Discernment. How is God's creation an example of discernment? His unparalleled wisdom. Everything God has created came from his wisdom of discernment. Nothing that he created was by accident. I'm sure we all know that. Or to see if it would work real quick. Everything has been decided, discerned by a plan. And one of the foundations of wise discernment for us that Christ tells us to put on our hearts is making our yes be a yes and our no be a no. As he states in Matthew 5:37. Not going to turn there. But he says, let your yes be a yes and your no be a no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. I don't know about you, but I know I have a lot of gray area slipping to my yeses and my nos in my life. A lot of gray area. It's really hard to develop wise discernment when the foundation of our decisions of yes or no are already compromised. Seeking God through spiritual discernment is a way to perceive his wisdom above every decision that we make. See, seeking discernment from God is not just right here in the Bible, even though we turn there, we're going to, but it's all around us, which we're going to turn there to find out how it's all around us. So turn with me to Proverbs again, chapter 8. Chapter 8, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. And it goes on and on and on if you read the scripture or the chapter. But just this is proof right here that God's wisdom, his discernment, speaks to us all day long, from the people that we encounter, to the movies that we watch, to the places that we visit, to the songs that we love, to the situations that we have at work and in relationships. God's great wisdom is for us to discern between decisions that we make and what steps we take is about getting out there and living our lives. These scriptures are telling us to go out and get wisdom, Not to wait for it to show up on our doorstep in an Amazon Prime box. That'd be nice. I got a big box of wisdom today. I'm going to open it up when I get home. We can't shelter ourselves in a box with our Bible and live Christ-like. Nowhere does he give an example like that. This type of spiritual discernment is the rock foundation of the other two principles that I just went over. You can't seek God diligently without the wisdom of discernment. We can absolutely seek God in our own way and for our own gain, but it won't really be God that we're seeking, will it? And we cannot persevere and become more Christ-like without wise discernment. Diligence, perseverance, and discernment. Spiritual disciplines. In closing here, these powerful words, powerful principles, and disciplines help build the faith that Christ tells us to hold on to the end for, when he tells us to hold on to that faith. Because if we do, we will enter into God's peace that surpasses all understanding, referring back to Philippians 4:7. And isn't that what we're looking for? A peace that surpasses all understanding? Meaning what we think we understand now is nothing to compared to what we will understand. So when I was leaving to rush here and beat all the traffic to get here before church, wife Stephanie stopped me right before the door and she said, "Hey, look on her Bible app, you know, the app that we all use. And she says, "Look what my verse of the day says." And as I was leaving it, she showed me and it says, 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord."